He's got a mic, and he's in a mood. That's Buckle right. up, Buttercup. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Please hold your applause. It's embarrassing. Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I can prove it. Look, here it is. How are you? Good to be with you. Let's have some fun. Right after the show, we'll have some fun. First, let's do this. You know, the time we spend together is so special that I don't even include it in consideration of things that I enjoy. I know. This is nuts, man. This is just nuts. How are you, though? Are you doing okay? I'm getting paranoid. Every time I have a sniffle or something, or my throat gets a little scratchy, I think I'm going to die. This is not a good thing. This is not what's supposed to be happening here. We've been through these things before with the virus scares. This is just weird. It's like I'm now aware of everybody that dies one by one from this coronavirus, and that's not a healthy thing to know. I mean, what if someone like had a heart attack in West Virginia, and then they reported that a second person in West Virginia also had a heart attack? Oh my God, I got to take care of my heart. Oh my God, I'm going to die. This is the problem. Now, it might be a little worse than that. I don't know. That's enough music. Thank you very much. Stock market's taking a tumble because people are so scared to travel anywhere at all. I mean, I was scared to travel to New Jersey, and there wasn't even a virus there. So, I don't know. I have never washed my hands so much in my life. I haven't. I'm basically not a hand washer. When I was a kid, man, you probably did the same thing. I would go to the backyard of my house and play in the dirt and the mud, and then I'd lick my fingers clean. I mean, I was a filthy child. I was putting my face where my face shouldn't go. I'm still doing that. Let's not go into that part. So no specifics there, please. But yeah, my face is going all in all the wrong places, into mud, into dirt. Into Betsy, she was my first high school love. It's awful, man. I can't imagine why I didn't get sick from other things before. Pandemic or no pandemic, it's amazing. I was shoving my body into things that shouldn't be shoved into. Unshovable places I was shoving into. I would drink water out of the tap, out of the garden hose, damn it. The garden hose. Can you imagine something dirtier than a garden hose? Ech. I was drinking out of the faucets. The faucets in the back of my house where they hook up all kinds of fertilizers and things. I survived that. Even now, I'm picking up the remote control of the television. I can't imagine how many germs are having a field day on that thing. I'm touching doorknobs of places I don't even live in. I'm touching doorknobs on men's rooms. I'm it's amazing I'm still walking. There's germs all over the place. And I'm touching all of them one by one. Line up, I'll touch you. Now, all of a sudden, with the outbreak of the coronavirus, or at least the scaring thereof, I'm not doing anything. I'm just washing my hands all day. You know that phrase, I wash my hands of this? I'm actually doing that. Every time I touch something, I go to the sink and I find some antibacterial soap and I'm washing my hands like I'm some kind of surgeon about to do surgery here. What's going on? What happened to me? It's getting to me. It's getting to you too. People are scared to fly. That's why the airlines are doing worse. They're scared to go to places now. I've always been scared to go to New Jersey, and yet I did every once in a while. But unfortunately, I've constantly paid the price for that. You know, that's why the economy's not doing well. It's a worldwide thing. It's not necessarily us. It's worldwide. The NCAA, the March Madness thing. You know, that's when the college basketball thing going on. They're considering having some of the games with no crowd, no audience, because they don't want to gather people in one arena. I mean, like, wow. What's going on, man? I liken this to a heart attack, in a sense. You know, I'm knowing every person that's died from the coronavirus in the United States. Two people in the state of Washington, not Washington, D.C., in Washington State. Why we have two Washingtons, I don't know. Did we run out of names for places? I got to have a state of Washington, and then Washington, D.C. is a whole district, which is like different in itself, and then you're confusing me with two Washingtons. There was one Washington president, not two Washingtons. Anyway, two people died there, and I know about them, and I'm starting to know their backgrounds. They both had other medical complications. I don't know what those other medical complications were. Was it acne? I mean, was it as simple as acne? Or was it some person who was like hanging on to life anyway because of pneumonia? I don't know. They won't tell me that. But I'm aware of those two deaths in the United States from the coronavirus. See, that's horrible. But when you make the public so aware of things, they panic. It's like when a guy dies in Texas from a heart attack, do I have to know about that? Oh, my God, someone died in Texas from a heart attack. Now I've got to wash my heart all the time. No walking for me. It could overdo my heart or something. No strenuous activity. A person died from a heart attack in Texas. And guess what? Now I've heard a second person died from a heart attack. Oh, my God. It's a heart attack virus. It's a pandemic of heart attacks. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people die every day from heart attacks. Did the stock market go down? I know it's not a perfect analogy, but I think you know what I'm talking about. I'm washing my hands all the time. Now I have hand sanitizer. I never had that before. I never sanitized my hands. Just as a thought. Not even Washington. Not even washing them. Now I'm sanitizing them with a little bottle of serum or something like that. It's funny because I wash my hands, I use the hand sanitizer because I'm getting paranoid, and yet I'm just touching everything in sight otherwise. Do I still go out in public? Sure, I have to buy food. I have to do things. I'm considering not having sex anymore. That's bodily touching. That's a very, very bad thing to do. So I told my prostitute, I think we got to lay cool for a little while. She said, oh, come on, how am I supposed to make a living? There's other people. No, seriously, what, Ron, that wasn't serious? No, seriously, I don't know. I don't want any human contact anymore. But see, for me, that's kind of easy because I never wanted human contact. Human contact to me was like, ugh, ugh. You want me to touch you? I've talked about this before. I've never liked shaking hands. I mean, it's a good feeling between two people that they're shaking hands, but at the same time, why in the world am I touching you? You're a stranger to me. We usually shake hands when it's a greeting. We say hello or goodbye. I don't even know you. To be honest with you, I don't even know your name. I have no idea who you are. You could take your hand on an hourly basis and shove it in your pants and play with yourself and then shake my hand without washing it. I don't know what you do with yourself, and yet I'm bold enough to shake that thing. Shaking hands is not good. No more shaking hands for me. Fist bump? Don't be stupid. Don't be stupid. I'm too old for fist bumping. That's for kids. That's for cool kids. I'm not a cool kid. I don't fist bump. I don't want to bump at all. No bumping. I don't need to bump strangers. There's no bumping here. No, what I like is the bow. I like the bow. It's no touching. It's a sign of respect. I can get in some good exercise that way. I can work on my abs. Bowing is good. It's perfect. Here's the problem with bowing. That's the very country where this coronavirus started. All they do is bow. They don't touch each other. And look what happened to them. Look where it started. Why do all the diseases happen in China? What's up with that? What's going on there? Are people walking around fucking animals day and night? What's happening in China? Why is stuff coming out of there? And Japan? What's with you people? What are you doing over there? And then it spreads over here like a bad tub of cream cheese. What's up with that? What are you doing? What are you doing over there? That's a place where they walk around with masks because of air pollution. You would think the mask itself would kind of stop the spreading of germs, but that doesn't seem to stop them over there. What's going on with you? Is it the food? Is it the chopsticks? Do you not use disposable chopsticks? I don't know. It's with you people. I say that affectionately. I don't know. Then it spreads over here. We're not doing anything. We're just going about our country, doing our thing. You know, we're just trying to be Americans here, trying to denounce democracy and go into communism. I don't know what your problem is. I don't know why you're bothering us with your diseases. Cut it out. Cut it out. Italy, apparently, is the second largest place on the planet of the spreading of this coronavirus. Italy. Italy. Do you know why that's happening in Italy? Because it's the one country in the world where everybody goes, come on, eat, come on, eat, eat, eat more, come on, eat, come on, eat. What do you mean you're not hungry? Come on, eat a little bit more. Here, I'll put it on your plate. You eat it. Somehow that's spreading a disease. I don't know why. Is it pasta? Is that what it is? Is it the pasta? I don't know. I'm just hoping that, I mean, it's only going to get worse. But that's what these things are. We've had these pandemics before, and we've outlived most of them. It's not a plague. My goodness. Pence said something, and Trump said something that was very off-putting to me. I mean, what don't they say that's not off-putting? But they actually said, you know, if you're a healthy American, you've really got nothing to worry about. Even if you get the disease, you can survive it and be just fine, just like the flu, as long as you're healthy. Okay, now, that wasn't good enough for me. That might make healthy people feel really good about themselves. But for many of us who have these little underlying conditions, that's not a great thing. Seniors are not healthy. The definition of a senior, if you look it up in a dictionary, sorry millennials, dictionary was a book that had definitions in it of words. Wikipedia, let's say Wikipedia. If you look up the definition in Wikipedia, you'll see that the definition of being a senior, it says a person with underlying conditions. That's what it's about. So that doesn't make people feel too good about themselves. Well, I have asthma. Uh-oh. Yeah, I have high cholesterol. Uh-oh. I have high blood pressure. Uh-oh. I have acne. Uh-oh. Whoa. Acne, whoa. I think most people have underlying conditions. So Trump-Pence ticket, that didn't make us feel too good. You got nothing to worry about as long as you don't get sick. Wow, how do you not do that? How do you not do that? Bet you wish you had your flu shot now, huh? Is it too late to have the flu shot? I don't know. Probably. It's probably. I don't know how long it takes these things to fester in your body. This is making me nervous just to talk about this. I don't like it. I don't like it. Somehow I feel if we had a Democratic president, this wouldn't be happening. I'll tell you one thing that wouldn't be happening. When the administration tells you something and your immediate response is, thanks, Pinocchio, you got problems. When a government goes out of its way not to panic the public so the stock market doesn't drop, you got problems. Anyway, that's it. That's enough. That'll do it for me. We have a great guest coming up later in the program. And we'll talk to that guest momentarily. But in the meantime, it's just you and me here. We formed a bond, a James Bond. I don't know what it is. I have no idea. I mean, I got this. I've had allergies like for years, so I know I'm not. I don't have anything other than allergies. But at the same time, I mean, is that an underlying condition? I don't know. I'm a little bit concerned about things. Is that an underlying psychological condition? I don't know. What do you mean by that? I don't know. Do you like fried foods? That's an underlying condition. You want to kill yourself? Eat fried foods all day. I had a friend named Evan. He was a childhood friend. We went to school together. We kept in contact in our 20s, our 30s, our 90s, our 200s. We got old together. And Evan, he worked at a television station. WOR in Secaucus, Newark, New Jersey. Yes, he actually lived in New Jersey in that area. I know. I realize that. The very place you won't go to travel is where he worked and actually lived. His job was so sweet. It was sweet. And I wanted his job. This is what he did for a living. He worked in a television station, and his job was to sit at a console all day and do nothing. He had television screens in front of him, and he was responsible for making sure that the commercials got properly aired between television show breaks. You know what I'm saying? You know, when they said, now we're going to go to a commercial, it was his job to press a button and run the commercial. That was all he did. He just sat there and pushed a couple of buttons. They were already queued up. All he had to do was just push the buttons and make sure that they went out on the air properly. He was like the night watchman for making sure that stuff went on the air properly. Sometimes he worked during the day, sometimes he worked during the night. Evan was really into television. It was a perfect job for him. It was wonderful. You never had to lift a finger. You're not going to get carpal tunnel syndrome. You're not going to outdo your knees or anything like that. He just sits in a chair all day. I thought that would be a wonderful job. Then I realized, hey, he's just sitting in a chair all day. That's probably not healthy. He can't even get up. His job is to sit in a chair and make sure things go out on the air properly on this television station. He's staring at a screen all day and watching shows and commercials. So what did Evan do on a regular basis to entertain himself? He freaking ate food. But not just food. It was all takeout stuff. His favorite was Kentucky Fried Chicken. The harbinger of death. The closest thing to anything that is nutritious from Kentucky Fried Chicken is that sugar-laden coleslaw that they have. Very tasty, but poisonous as well. You would figure living in the Newark, Secaucus, New Jersey area would be enough to kill you. Well, I went to visit Evan when we were both in our older years. And he said, let's go out to lunch. And I thought, okay, great. Is there a nice place around here? He says, let's go to KFC. What? Well, you're inviting me out here and you want to go to KFC with me? Seriously? Yeah, I eat KFC every day. Ding, 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 red flags. Ding, 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 ding. Underlying condition. I couldn't believe that day. I thought, this kid only eats fast food. Chickens and hamburgers that are fried and fliked and flooped and flighted. Dripping in cheese and grease. 1 year later, I get a call from his wife. Evan has passed away. Of what? Well, he started having heart palpitations and stuff, and I guess his arteries were getting full of chicken. And I put him in the car and rushed him to the hospital, and he died right there in the passenger seat on the way to the hospital. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. Yeah, we didn't see it coming. You didn't? How could you not? All he ate was fried chicken. French fries. If it wasn't fried, it didn't go in his mouth. You didn't see this coming? So finally, I find out that he died of a massive heart attack because his arteries were blocked. Didn't see that coming. I felt very sad about that, quite obviously. Was it a shock to me? No. It wasn't a shock to me. And that's why I wash my hands. Oh, God. Hey, I have a great guest today. And we're going to speak to our guest right after these words. That was scary. That was scary and chilling, wasn't it?
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, the podcast world's version of painful itching and swelling. You know they sell a cream for that, right? It's over the counter. Works really well. I've had to use it a lot.
Hello, Claire.
Hi, Ron. How are you?
I'm great. Claire O'Connor joins us. She's Bumble's editorial director. Bumble, of course, is matching people so that they can have a wonderful life. That's a nice thing to do.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. Good morning.
Yeah, it's a pleasure having you here. There are a lot of people that are interested in this conversation, I'll tell you. Online meeting and dating has really evolved since... How old is this concept?
Well, online dating itself has been around now for, gosh, it must be at least 20 years.
Wow.
But apps have been around for much less time. Bumble is now 5 years old.
5 years old.
Which, okay. Yeah, seems like 10 in startup years, I'll tell you. But actually, recent research suggests that, last year, for the first time ever, more folks met online than they did via quote-unquote traditional means,
yep,
like meeting through friends or at bars.
I sure understand that. How is Bumble different than the others?
So what sets Bumble apart, and I will just note that Bumble is not just for dating. We have Bumble Date, we have Bumble BFF for friend finding,
And
we have Bumble Biz for networking.
Oh, I did not know.
So what sets us apart is that for heterosexual matches, women make the first move.
Mm-hmm.
And we've actually found that sets a tone of respect and equality from the start.
Uh-huh. Well, that's kind of true, especially these days where there's that question of men, you know, this, yeah. It's about time, as a matter of fact. Damn it, I'm tired of having all the responsibility.
Well, honestly, that's kind of the feedback we've had. Men are feeling relieved.
Yeah.
They have been over the years sort of taught that it's their responsibility to be the pursuer, right. And we have flipped the gender roles on their head.
Good, good. I think that's a good idea. I'm with that. One's concern always is, are they talking to, communicating with the person that they're actually being represented as? That's always been a concern. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, you're right. You know, the internet can still feel like the Wild West sometimes.
Sure.
And catfishing is, you know, a term that now I feel like most folks are familiar with, yes. Whereas they probably wouldn't be a decade ago.
Right.
So what we have are a handful of technologies to protect against that.
Mm-hmm.
We have a photo verification tool. So what we do for folks who seek verification is we'll have them do a certain movement, and it changes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll say, you know, take a photo of yourself with your hand on your head or with your arm across your shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And then our moderators will check and say, okay, that's this person.
Yeah.
They'll get a blue. Yeah, well, we think so. Thank you. And so they'll get a blue check on their profile. So you can be sure that that's who you're talking to.
Wow, that does stop the catfishing and grabbing other people's images and using them as yours. That's pretty cool. And it's such a simple resolve, but yeah, not a bad idea. Okay, well, I feel better already. As you say, this has become most popular. I used to be a videographer, and I did a lot of weddings. And even back about 10 years ago, about 50% of the weddings that I did, they met online. That was 10 years ago. I imagine the numbers now are incredibly high.
Incredibly high. And you know what? It's the most gratifying part of this job is mm-hmm. to open up the New York Times vow section and to see this couple met on Bumble or even any other app for that matter. And, you know, we also celebrate milestones that aren't necessarily traditional marriage. We love mm-hmm. to see folks who, you know, may have gone through a divorce and are now getting their confidence back to date. We love seeing ourselves tagged on Instagram with a new Bumble baby, and we'll send them a little bee onesie.
Yeah.
So there are, you know, all sorts of things to celebrate. We see people who use our Bumble Biz networking mode, who have, you know, gone into business together and founded a startup. So there's all sorts of ways that folks are using our app to connect, and we're so thrilled that they are.
Okay. Do people do a lot of profile photos? Photos, for most real good people, they're like embarrassed sometimes about, you know, I don't look that good. I don't look that good. If you go into the motor vehicle department, no one wants that picture used.
Well, you know what? That would be a new one. I don't think I've ever seen a DMV photo on a Bumble profile. Maybe you'll inspire someone. But I think something that is interesting to note is that we've noticed that folks who actually use all the profile photo slots we offer have 31% more matches. So use all six.
Yeah.
Put all six photos in there. Don't just put two or three. Don't put 20-year-old photos. No one's going to be fooled.
Right.
And use the photo slots to show off your personality a little more.
Yeah.
You love kayaking? Put a photo of you in a kayak.
Yeah.
If your dog is the center of your life, put a photo of you in that fur baby.
Yeah.
I think there are so many opportunities here. You don't have that much space.
Yeah.
Show your potential match who you are through your photos.
Yeah. See, I'd find it difficult because I don't like long walks on the beach. I just really don't. I find them boring, and I don't think I'd match with anybody accordingly. Anyway, okay. How easy is this for a person to get involved with?
Oh, gosh, it could not be easier. You can go to bumble.com to learn more. If you're interested in the safety aspects, I really recommend bumble.com/safety. There'll be a rundown of everything we do to keep you as safe as possible in our community. Or just go to the good old App Store or Google Play and download the app and try it for yourself.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, if I may throw in very quickly,
do you find
that some people are a little too stringent on their requirements when they themselves are not that wonderful, perhaps? In other words,
well,
if other people were as stringent on you as you were on them, you wouldn't be talking to anybody.
Well, we hope everyone's got wonderful aspects to their personality, but I know what you mean. I think one thing that we do notice is that, you know, someone might be 32 years old and they set their age restrictions as 30 to 35.
Yeah.
Why? Yeah. Why not just move that out a little? You might meet a wonderful 28-year-old or a 38-year-old. So think about it. You might move your, you know, you might only be looking at 5 miles from home. Why not 15? Yeah. Why not 20?
Yeah.
You're going to meet a much wider range of people that way.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier that it's not just for dating necessarily. There are a lot of people as they get older that lose their spouses, whatever the case may be, and they're looking for not necessarily a full relationship. They're looking for a companion who understands them and they can have a nice acquaintance with.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that's
there's also, you know, there we also with this Bumble BFF platform, you can just make a pure platonic friend or an activity partner. So if you want to try yoga or macrame, that's what that's for.
Well, that sets you apart, I'll tell you that. Okay. All right, how do we contact? What do we do?
Just download the app or head to bumble.com and learn more.
You make it way too simple. All right. Thank you so much for your time today, Claire. It's very informative.
Thank you so much, Ron. Have a good day.
Thanks. Take care. Bye-bye. Well, that'll do it for me for today. Did you have fun today? Did you have a good time? Did you? Seriously, did you? No, I'm not kidding. Did you? Oh, okay, good. I'll tell you why. I'm going to be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Yeah, I am. I mean, you know, probably. So anytime tomorrow, drop in. I got a new show waiting for you. It's in the oven. It's in the oven right now, and we'll have a little feast of fun tomorrow, okay? Where you just shut up and listen to me talk for like half an hour. Seems harmless to me. Not to you, probably, but to me it's harmless. Have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day. And I wish you peace.